Hello and welcome to the Ship Energy Podcast with me, Ariane Morrissey. This week, we're taking a deep dive into a concept that was introduced by the FuelEU Maritime Regulation, pooling. In short, the concept allows over-compliant ships, those that manage to reduce their GHG intensity beyond the targets, to share some of their over-compliance with other under-compliant vessels, whether they belong to the same owner or not. To unpick the practicalities, challenges, and opportunities of pooling, I'm pleased to welcome Risto Juhani Kariranta, CEO of Attipool. The company's FuelEU compliance pool currently manages over 250 vessels belonging to a number of different owners, and Atti expects that figure to double this year. Welcome to the podcast, Risto.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Well, pleasure to have you. I guess a good place to start would be to explain how the Attipool works in practice. So how exactly do you do that? How do you share compliance between vessels from different companies? And crucially, how do you make sure that the owners of over-compliant ships are rewarded fairly?
Yeah, so Attipool, we have, first of all, I would like to emphasize that we have been working a lot to make this easy for our customers. So basically, we are painfully aware that the regulation is quite complex. It's not for everybody to master in and out, and that's where we can help. And there are a lot of aspects that you need to take into account when planning this kind of pooling. So you need to, first of all, find the vessels that are willing to, let's say, buy the compliance, and then you have to find the vessels that are ready to sell. You have to settle the prices, you have to have the contractual setup in place and run in parallel all the verification, transaction tracking, and so forth. So awful lot of tasks that could become a blocker for individual companies to do this by themselves. So how we are working is that we make this super easy for our pool partners. So in case you are in need for compliance, you just sign up for our pool, and then this works in a way like a electricity contract, in a way that, okay, we have the commercial terms in place, and then you do your own business, and we measure how much compliance you are consuming, so to speak, and send an invoice on a given intervals for the customer, for the compliance. And on the other side of the fence, we have a little bit similar setup with the producer of the compliance, so that we like to call them. So we measure their production and then make the transaction from the producers to those who are in buying, and of course pay them accordingly. So to your last question, how do we reward fairly the over-compliant vessels is that we offer them a fair chance to, first of all, monetize their over-compliance and gain profit compared to their investment for the low-carbon fuels. So in a way, the money that they are putting in for the low-carbon fuels, they can get some profit by selling the compliance. But at the same time, we are able to still sell the compliance for our customers with a lower price than their alternative cost would be, for example, compared to the FuelEU maritime penalties, which are quite tangible.
And how do you establish the right price that will be fair for under-compliant vessels and over-compliant vessels as well?
Well, that's a commercial discussion between all the different participants that we have separately with each and everyone. So there are a number of factors impacting on that. So, for example, what kind of volumes we are talking about with them, what kind of commitment they are ready to make, and then market price level we need to take into account, so that now for this pooling, the biggest impacting alternative would be to consume liquid biofuels, because that's a solution that is available also for everybody, like pooling. So we need to monitor the price level of getting the compliance with the liquid biofuels and keep the cost level competitive in that sense. But the good thing is that most of our producer vessels are able to consume advanced low carbon fuels, meaning that, for example, bio LNG, green methanol, it might be that we get also into e-methanol during this year. And those fuels, the characteristics of those fuels are like that you really can produce the compliance with the extremely cost-effective cost level or price level. So that enables the possibility so that basically both parties, the buyers and the sellers, win through this kind of arrangement. So we can enable the profit for the producers, but also discounts for the consumers of the compliance.
And how do you ensure that you have the right balance of over and under compliance ships in the pool by the end of the year?
Well, that's also one of the headaches that we take away from the pool participants. So that's part of our daily task to evaluate that we have the right balance. And main thing we do in regards to that is that we reserve a sufficient amount of margin for the production. So basically, we are not doing our initial planning based on the maximum capacity utilization of the production vessels, compliance production vessels. So that gives us some room for increasing the production in case the demand is higher, and vice versa, slow it down a bit or bank it for the next year in case the demand is slightly lower. But all in all, this is about planning. So basically, we with each and every ship, we have some kind of plan done so that we have can accumulate the total pool predictions very easily and then reflect on the changes that in shipping business we need to expect. So basically, we are well aware that ships that have been, for example, last year operating in Europe might continue for the first couple months that, but then go for completely outside of Europe trading areas, and this naturally reflects quite a lot on this regional regulation exposure levels. To summarize it, we plan, we monitor, and are ready to react in case there are changes.
You made the comparison earlier with supplying electricity. So is there also a parallel to be made here? So basically, you calculate how much compliance you need across the fleet that's managed by the pool, and then you can ask your over-compliance ships to produce more compliance, i.e. use more of these low-carbon fuels. Is that correct?
Exactly. So as mentioned, I mentioned that we reserve margin, it might be that we, for example, have one vessel we have signed up for burning like 50% of their energy need, equivalent amount of bio-LNG, for example. And then if we see in the middle of the year that we need more, then we have the options in our agreements that we can ask them to instead use 60 or 70% for the remaining part of the year. So that provides the needed flexibility.
Yeah, and speaking of flexibility, you've also mentioned that there's always a possibility that ships that are currently on European routes might be deployed somewhere else. So what kind of contractual arrangements do you have in place to ensure that the ships in the pool, especially the over-compliant ones, will remain there throughout the year?
Well, we have, first of all, I'm very proud of the contractual architecture we have built for this. We have spent a lot of effort with our legal team on that one. So we are prepared for all these kind of changes. We are also expecting that the ships that are now part of the pool might be having a different operator by the end of the year, and vice versa. We might be that one of the operators that have brought their vessels in might bring some new vessels in the middle of the year, and all of these cases have been addressed in our contractual structure. So how to keep the vessels in the pool? So basically, there is a clear incentive for that. First of all, this is way to for example, for the production vessels to generate kind of a additional revenue stream. So keeping their vessel in the pool is therefore more profitable the longer the vessel is in the pool, and then on vice versa. Then for those who are on the demand side, we basically provide them also the compliance with a lower cost than they can get it from other sources and this incentivizes them to keep the vessel in the pool and naturally there are also other incentives for that in our contractual setup, but maybe do not want to disclose all the details in this discussion, but let's say that all the participants we have signed up at the moment are extremely motivated to keep their vessels in our pool for the whole reporting period.
So basically the idea is that it would be financially profitable or financially beneficial for both sides, so there's a bit of an incentive to keep them in the pool.
Exactly. Yes.
I guess another element that's quite interesting is the idea of trust, because you're managing multiple vessels from several companies. So how do you check that the data that they're providing you on fuel consumption, on their need for compliance, or on the overcompliance that they're producing, how do you check that data is accurate?
Well, we have a couple ways to do that. First of all, okay, we have been preparing our own pooling platform for this purpose for already 2 years. So we kind of first smoke test is that we have certain expectations that how much or how big volumes the deficit or surplus with the given operational profile the individual vessel has should be. So that's the first indication. But then maybe even more importantly, we are cooperating here with the accredited verifiers. So throughout the year, we are checking with our verification partners that the numbers provided seem legit and correct. So it's in that sense we have also a third party, kind of a second view from an external party that is checking the value, so that we keep high value for that kind of service that the verifiers are here providing to us.
If we take a bit of a step back and we look at the regulation as a whole, would you say that in its current form and in the way it's made, does fuel EU make it easier for owners of large fleets who can just create a pool between their own ships and have full control over it?
Yeah, I would say so. So it seems that there are some big companies who are at least first doing it for their own fleets and pool among their own vessels, which is completely understandable and makes sense in the same way as our pool is making sense. It makes sense for them. So this kind of pooling setup that we have, where we are needed, is the stage where you would like to either buy or sell compliance together with the external companies. And this might happen also with these big fleets at some points. They might, we know some established fleets that have invested quite a lot of money for dual fuel vessels and ultra low carbon vessels and at some point might be on interested on also getting external revenue to compensate those investments, and then in such case having this kind of completely neutral party setting up the trading is essential in a similar way as the shipping industry is using with the chartering contracts. The brokers are still used there in between for a reason that it's always valuable to have somebody who is first of all facilitating this kind of trading and acting as a neutral party, making sure that all the participants are playing according to rules and finding ultimately the resolution in case they have some differing views, for example, about the pricing and so forth.
And do you have bigger ship owners who are also part of the ATI pool or interested or have expressed interest in becoming part of that external pool?
Definitely we have. So basically the biggest shipping companies we are now on contract negotiation phases that have or are operating more than hundreds of vessels. So those are huge companies that have also indicated their interest and are also investing time to explore this opportunity. And of course we are very, very glad that they are having these discussions with us at the moment. And perhaps interesting angle here is that the first big interested customers were commercial shipping pools. So basically, the conventional shipping pooling shipping that is building a bigger fleet and sharing profits and costs and revenues between each other, which is of course not Ahtipool's business. We are focusing only on this niche area of fuel EU maritime compliance. But maybe my kind of conclusion was that the pooling concept in general was so familiar for them, so that they were very open-minded to explore the option also in this case.
So you think that owners of bigger fleets might still have an interest in joining external pools, or do you think this is an option that's best suited to owners of smaller fleets?
Well, time will tell. That I still see quite a lot of interest on bigger companies, especially now those who have invested in these low carbon vessels. But let's say that maybe our kind of average customer is definitely from the small and mid-size companies. So I mean the difference in this, for if we compare these small and mid-sized companies and big companies, is that the big company typically have their own whole team to handle things like this. And then when we go for smaller and mid-sized companies, it might be that you have one person that should have handle all regulatory stuff. Maybe they have the luxury that they handle only the emission regulations, but maybe they have also a performance desk on their responsibility. So in that case, this is a super helpful service because it doesn't require so much effort for them, and they can focus on their own business and of course minimizing the direct exposure for these emission costs that these regulations are bringing, and we can support them by managing all of this nasty administrative stuff and finding the partners and stuff like that. So we have got really, really nice and encouraging feedback from those types of companies.
Speaking of which, what are you hearing from the industry since Fuel EU Maritime formally came into force on the 1st of January? Have you seen a rise in interest for pooling, or is the industry still in sit back and wait kind of mode?
It's increasing. We saw the first strong peak on December, and then now we see that those discussions that we started at that point are heading to conclusions. But at the same time, we every day talk with also new companies that haven't yet done any conclusion. It's a little bit like what we saw with the EU ETS inclusion, that there were some companies that started 1 year in advance to plan how to do this, concluded around January, February, but then maturity handled this during springtime, so maybe around April for EU ETS, and I expect something similar for this one. But then of course we always have a group of companies that will leave it for the very last dates, but I would believe that majority of the companies will have some kind of setup for ready before summer in Europe this year.
And for those companies who might leave it to later in the year or to the absolute last minute, is there still an option to join pools, external pools later in the year, or is that going to make life really complicated for you given all the calculations and the compliance that you have to generate?
There is definitely option, but what I would like to say to those companies is that all the indicators are showing that the prices are on increasing. We see that the low carbon fuel price indexes are starting to grow as we kind of expected, regardless if it's a liquid biofuel or these more advanced low carbon fuels. And these will reflect also to the pooled compliance prices. So in that sense, I definitely would encourage companies to join rather early than end of the reporting period or even after that. Otherwise, it might be that the prices have gone sky high and there is not even compliance left for all the participants. So in that sense, definitely very much recommend joining early on. And we are able to provide some securities against the market values in case there are some expectations that for the other way around, that the compliance prices would be going down. So that would be possible for them to secure within our pool in case needed. But yeah, it possible, yes. If it pays off, I doubt.
If we look at the bigger picture, so ultimately the aim of the entire regulation is to incentivize a transition to renewable and low carbon fuels. So would you say that the EU was right to include a clause allowing pooling?
Absolutely. How I see this is it's first of all, if we would have been completely without this pooling option, would have ended up in a much bigger trouble with the supply of, for example, liquid biofuels that would have been then pretty much the only option for majority of the ships. So which would have led to a situation that a bigger share of the companies would have ended up paying the penalties, meaning not using any low carbon fuels at all. And now through this pooling, my discussions with the several shipping companies that have invested to the low carbon fuels is that it has given them a security to go for that path, paying higher capexes for the vessels that have, for example, dual fuel capability, as they knew that this is coming and there will be also value for the possible over compliance they have possibility to generate through this pooling. So it has given them security to go for this. So in my opinion, it has accelerated the contracting of dual fuel vessels, first of all, and now opening this market for these advanced low carbon fuels in a completely different way that we would have had without this setup. So basically meaning that on net, we will be consuming much more low carbon fuels for shipping thanks to this pooling setup than we would have been without.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you very much.